This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Yesterday we witnessed a remarkable tragedy in Melbourne, the loss of now four lives, a stack of injuries with people recovering in three Melbourne hospitals. It was an awful day by anybody's imagination, and we're joined by Paul Holman, the State Health Commander for Ambulance Victoria. We wanted to get an insight on, Macca, how services respond to a situation like yesterday. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. First off, Paul, how many paramedics were at the scene yesterday? Was it 40 or so?
Oh, look, at in excess of 40 and probably about 50 plus resources in terms of vehicles and different configuration of vehicles. So, yeah, a lot, and a lot in a very short space of time.
One of the things where and, you know, the response by Ambulance Victoria and the police and the MFB, you know, to this is extraordinary. One of the things we'd like to touch on is behind the scenes, how does this, you know, so you get a notification of this and then, of course, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. How do you deal with this as well as everything else that you've got to deal with in a normal day at AV?
Yeah, well, we've got a very well-defined emergency response plan. I suppose I'll go back in the past. What we used to do was send, you know, one ambulance and then see what was happening and hopefully someone would give us a situation report and then try and manage a scene now. What we do now is that once we get the information at the point of call, so, you know, we had the point of call yesterday, we got reports of multiple pedestrians in the city. There's an automatic process that alerts my department, which is the Emergency Management Unit, which then puts out a level of response and based on the information that we've got. And so we escalate early. If we're not required, then we ramp back down again. But we get on the front foot because, unfortunately, in these major disasters, you can't play catch-up.
No.
So we send everything we've got available, particularly management, everything quickly, and then and put out an alert across the whole organisation, which is what we did yesterday. So this was our highest level of red alert. We usually only do that once or twice a year, and this one certainly constituted that particular response.
And what that does, Paul, is also paramedics that aren't rostered on or aren't working, they get a message, don't they, to say, are you available? You know, we need extra people. So you're calling on all the resources, not just those that are...
Yeah, we'll make multiple choices about, you know, do we need extra resources on? When do we need them on? Do we need extra cars on? How are we managing the scene? And this scene was particularly difficult because we had no visual of it. When I got there, I had a report from commanders on scene that we could see a number of patients, and unfortunately someone had passed away, but only a very few because the scene went from the middle of the Bourke Street Mall up and over the hill.
Yes.
So it wasn't like a normal scene where you can look around and go, okay, well, I've got 20 or 30 or 40 patients and we'll start to triage them and we'll start to do treat and transport and, you know, we'll do all the normal things. Unfortunately, disasters don't fit your plans. You know, plans give you a bit of a heads up, but this one was particularly difficult because we had no visual of where patients were. So it kept evolving. You know, someone would come and say, there's someone else up here and then someone else up there. And when up there went, it was a kilometre away from where, you know, your command post was. So I think we did, all the services did a great job in getting to the patients in the time frame we did and then getting them off to hospital.
Paul, that was echoed by the Premier, Daniel Andrews, in a press conference late yesterday afternoon where he was just full of praise for the response of the emergency services, particularly AV. How do you then coordinate with hospitals. So obviously there are multiple injuries, and as you mentioned, there were fatalities as well. There's multiple injuries, and you know, there, I believe at one point there was reports of 29 or 30 people injured. How do you then work with the emergency departments at Melbourne's and Vincent's, the Children, the Alfred, to coordinate where who what goes where?
Well, we're integrated, my unit, the Emergency Operations Centre, we're integrated in at the Health Department in at Lonsdale Street. And also our clinical, so our communication centre is in contact with all the hospitals. And we also had on scene a field emergency medical officer, so a doctor that helps with that distribution of patient load and coordination. Because it's pretty important that the, particularly the trauma, and these patients were all trauma, that they go to the right hospital with the right skill and expertise to treat them. You know, and we had kiddies there. I know one small child, a baby, was loaded into a police car and taken off the scene. Who was well over the hill, and that's an that was an appropriate thing to do.
We're
5 minutes away from a hospital.
Correct. And then I'm curious how, and tell me that I'm going too far, but I'm curious how, if there is already a heavy triage situation at the Alfred Hospital because of a collision that may have happened or some other emergency. I imagine it's a logistical nightmare to try and work out which emergency department is capable of taking particular injuries or indeed the most, patients.
And that's why we have the coordination, and we're in contact with the hospitals, and they will let our they'll let us know, look, we can't take any more, we need to take them somewhere else. Our preferred, and under the state trauma plan, our preferred option to take trauma patients is to the Royal Melbourne and to the Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we took them to there. We also took them to St V's, because that's a secondary place that we'll go. And Children, of course, always go to the Children's.
Does the Epworth come into play as well, or is that not, obviously it wasn't necessary yesterday, but is that another emergency situation that could be used?
Sorry, I missed your question.
Is the Epworth another avenue that you have if you need it?
Look, certainly, the private hospital system would be called into play if the public hospital system was overwhelmed. We'll take patients, and as I understand it, as happens in all these incidents, some people left the scene and presented themselves to hospital. And as I understand, a couple of people did, in actual fact, present to Epworth Emergency Department. So.
And how much of this coordination is a result of, has this sort of been an ongoing thing, or is this a result of some of the reviews of Black Saturday, for example, where all emergency services were stretched beyond a physical capacity? Have some of these situations been put into place since that day so that we're better able to handle a bigger disaster?
Yeah, look, certainly the ambulance service, we started looking at our emergency response plan prior to the Commonwealth Games, and started to change the way that we did our business and change the way and the focus. And it evolves. Every incident teaches you something else. Like I've already got three or four things that happened yesterday that we hadn't planned for. I go back to the thunderstorm asthma, something that's never happened worldwide we hadn't planned for. I learned from the London bombings that they didn't keep good logs there, so we implemented a system here. So. And I make the point often that disasters are disasters where things will go wrong. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a disaster. It would just be a busy day.
Yeah.
And what you've got to do is learn from these disasters, learn what you can do from them, and then try and do it better next time. We're just boys and girls out there trying to do the best that we can. It's never going to go right. That's why they call it a disaster. But our primary focus is do the best we can, save as many lives as we can, and learn from it, so that next time we can do it better.
Paul, we've got to go. We thank you so much for your time and managing that situation yesterday, and for all the paramedics involved. We're thinking of them, and I know AV looks after the paramedics very well in these situations. Glad to see that you were able to respond, and you know, I'm sure people are in a much better situation now than they would have been. So thanks to you and Tony Walker for making the time this morning for us. And Pete, you want to...
Yeah, I just want to echo the words of the Premier that we are in very good hands with all of our emergency services in Victoria. And we thank you and congratulate you for being able to respond in such an effective manner and perhaps protect more people than and reduce the amount of fatality that could have occurred. So on behalf of all of our audience, Paul, we're incredibly grateful for your team.
No worries, guys, and thanks for your support. It's much appreciated.
Pleasure. That's Paul Holman. He is the State Health Commander at Ambulance Victoria.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.